This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We don't know what President Trump discussed with Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier on Tuesday, but we do know that Trump issued an ultimatum to Iran demanding unconditional surrender. This is aerial attacks intensified between Israel and Iran. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
More strikes were launched at Israel, one salvo bypassing Israeli air defenses, geolocated by ABC to the area where Israel's military intelligence and Mossad headquarters are based.
Ukraine's president says a U.S. citizen was killed when Russia launched hundreds of drones targeting Kyiv on Tuesday. A state of emergency in West Virginia, more heavy rain forecast after deadly flooding. Fire Chief Dave Patterson, hard hit Tridelphia, West Virginia.
In this town, we have never had a loss of life until this flood. We've had many, many bad floods, quote unquote, but nothing with the devastation we have now.
Patterson says they're racing to inspect damaged homes so they can safely restore power. This is ABC News. No verdict yet in the retrial of Karen Reed. She's pleaded not guilty to killing her Boston police officer boyfriend.
The jury's signaling their confusion about jury instructions, leaving many searching for clues in the questions they're asking.
We received a question from the jurors. If we find not guilty on two charges but can't agree on one charge, is it a hung jury on all three charges or just one charge?
Reed is facing three charges, second-degree murder, vehicular manslaughter while under the influence of alcohol, and leaving the scene of an accident causing death.
ABC's Matt Gutman, deliberations resume Wednesday. Her spokesman saying DHS Secretary Kristi Noem was taken to the hospital Tuesday after suffering an allergic reaction, adding she's alert and recovering. Food Network star Anne Burrell has died. She was 55. Burrell was famous for stints on Iron Chef America and hosting Worst Cooks in America. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
Three in four people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big, brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards three out of four games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hungry room for that reason alone. Like, everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms in the overnight, mostly cloudy skies, light winds, and temperatures dropping back into the mid-60s. On Wednesday, showers and storms continue, some locally heavy rainfall, winds turning to the north, highs in the middle 70s. It's 69 at our studios.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allball.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allball, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program here on Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite here in downtown Madison, world headquarters of Civic Media, where a little cloudy out, Zommers, but still pretty nice, right?
Yeah, I'm glad it's getting a little cloudier. Before, it was extremely bright. And like I said, I walked outside. I wanted to go get a chocolate croissant because it sounded good.
Yes.
And I had my left eye closed and my right eye barely open, just enough to see where I was walking.
Yeah, I say this with love. If I didn't know you better, I'd swear you're a vampire. Because you don't like the sun, you don't like the heat, you like everything closed up tight.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
But you're not, I say
hey,
that.
And I'm not supposed to eat garlic, my doctor said. Or at least limit it.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. Oh, we kid because we care, Zommers. All right, it's how about that, by the way? Many thanks to James Small, our last guest. Not only was he spectacular talking about rural EMS and rural health, we got an invitation out of the thing to take us to his native Washington Island in Door County to do this show. And he showed me a photo on his phone of a beautiful, pristine beach where we could do the show.
That would be fantastic.
So I'm down. Where you mark it on your calendars, folks. We'll come to you live from Washington Island later this year. I cannot wait. That's the kind of guest you want. Somebody that brings knowledge and also says, oh, by the way, I can help you get on an island.
Absolutely. Todd loves islands.
I do love islands. Absolutely. Coming up later this hour, another great guest, Wisconsin Assembly Representative. I guess that would be that's a little redundant, isn't it? Assembly person Jody Emerson, who is a Democrat of the Eau Claire area. She has been a key figure in staying on top of the situation. She's the ranking member of the Assembly Committee on Universities and Colleges. And she was one of the sources that I was watching and listening to last night. Got pretty late. And it leaked out, not just her, but other people were leaking out that the Joint Finance Committee was meeting today at 1 o'clock, which they did, in session now. And on the agenda was the University of Wisconsin system budget. And that they were looking at cutting $87 million from the state budget. Many thanks to all of you who called your legislators this morning, particularly those on the Joint Finance Committee, and said, no, We don't want to cut and gut the Wisconsin idea, i.e. that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. And so right before we came on the air, it was announced that they were pulling, at least for now, that motion to gut the UW system. We're going to have more with Representative Emerson at the bottom of the hour, get the latest for you, look at the numbers, look at what this potential cuts could mean, and sources within the Democratic Senate caucus telling me that if, keyword if, those $87 million cuts were to be approved by the legislature in an actual bill and went to the governor, that they would encourage Governor Tony Evers to veto the entire thing. Because unlike at the federal level, if you don't have a budget in Wisconsin, you just continue on at current funding levels. And that would be better, some Democrats are telling me privately, than approving a budget with $87 million in cuts from current levels. So Representative Emerson will be here at the bottom of the hour to discuss all of that and take some of your phone calls and questions as well. Beautiful day, as we said, as always. Let's take a look at the old Sam Davidson street cam out there. Sam is up in northern Wisconsin now at the big Boy Scout camp this summer. But he leaves behind the Sam Davidson street cam. There it is. Look at that. It's a picturesque day in downtown. To the right, you see on the stream there for all of our friends watching on Facebook, Twitter, Twix, YouTube, and the like. You see the beautiful glass Overture Center, great performing arts center on the right there. And on the left, that little triangular building there is one of my many failures in life. Where my first coffee shop was supposed to go after I left the legislature.
Wait, is it the one right on the corner?
Yeah, the one right there on the corner.
The one that's now a plant store that I've never seen anyone walk into or out of?
Yes, that's the one. And because and right to the left of that is the Castle and Doyle building, which was one of the first fire stations in Madison, historical building. And I paid for the engineering and a beautiful set of plans drawn up by OPN architects. No finer architects in the world than OPN right here in Madison. I'm serious about that. And they drew up these beautiful plans at OPN to have a beautiful coffee bar in that space. And then for reasons of which we will not get into now, that was killed. But my $25,000 still lives in that building.
You know, I knew it was this area. I didn't realize it was that exact
it's directly. So I tell people, anytime I get too high on my horse and get a little haughty,
look out the window.
I just got to look out the window to see, yeah, Todd, not everything you do works out. It's a good reminder to keep a guy grounded. But it's a beautiful part of Madison. We're in downtown Madison here. All right, Zombers, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard each and every day across all 11 civic media radio stations, the biggest privately held radio network in Wisconsin, second only to the great Wisconsin Public Radio Network. But we're private, as it turns out. No better place to advertise than Civic Media. Give our folks a ring at civicmedia.us to figure out how you could be one of our great partners, one of our great sponsors here. All right, Zombers, it's Tuesday. A lot of people call it Taco Tuesday. Taco has taken on a new meaning here politically last few weeks. A lot of people say it stands for Trump always chokes. No, Trump always, now I can't even say it. See, I had it in the tip of my tongue and I got some hot sauce on it and no, I went back. Find it.
Trump always chickens out.
That's it. Trump always chickens out. Trump, they say
taco. It's not wrong.
Trump always chickens out. But we're not talking about it that way right now. A lot of people love Jeff Patricus, former great sports writer, known for his love of Taco Bell, but some people are partial to the Taco Johns. Some people would say it sends you to the John. Anyway, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. There are some things that come into the text line that amuse me, but I cannot read them on the air.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Who even tells people that? Anyway, tune in tonight for our after-hours show, only available online. No, not really, but wouldn't that be fun? Anyway, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I had a Taco John story.
You do? That's right.
Years ago, before Taco John's were really in or cool in Wisconsin, a family friend of my parents, Terry Lenander, and his wife, Mary, Terry and Mary, Lenander, out in South Dakota, they were the first people to have a Taco John's franchise. And I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a dessert. It was like a fried tortilla, and then it had like applesauce and cinnamon or something on top of it. Oh, my goodness gracious. It was fantastic.
That does sound delicious.
It was really, really good. I'm not sure if they still have it or not. Honest to goodness, until this bit, I didn't know Taco John's was still around.
Oh, yeah. There's one in the area. I can't remember exactly where, but I drive past it fairly often.
Oh. All right. Well, very good. Greg in Genesee Depot says Taco Bell is worse. 855-752-4842. Also on the Civic Media app, you can download it at your Apple or Android device. If you don't have it, takes less than a minute. It's free on your app store. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Cam in Appleton saying Taco Bell is worse. I'm just going to leave it at that. Taco Bell is worse. So there you go. Also, Tony on YouTube watching says Taco Bell does not pass.
Or Taco John's.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Taco John's does not pass the vibe check. Salty tater tots and no crunch wrap. The flavors aren't flavoring. Really? I didn't know you could get either one of those things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the image we have here shows two of the main draws for each place. The Taco Bell image has a picture of the Doritos Locos Tacos, which I know are pretty popular. Yes. It's, for those of you who are not aware, first of all, how? Second of all, it's just a hard shell taco, but the shell is a folded Dorito. And then Taco John's shows their potato olés, which are basically flat tater tots that are very salty, and thus I like them.
Oh, very good. So you can't have garlic, but you can have salty tater tots.
Oh, I am encouraged to do so.
Heather, listening up a beautiful WCFW, Eau Claire, watching on Facebook, says both are gross, but my classroom is almost adjacent to Taco John's just down the block, and I do get a craving, just like Zomer's, for potato olés from time to time. Now, here's the question. When you order a potato olé, you have to go, I want a potato olé. Olé. And do like a thing like a matador? Is that
something
required?
Something like that,
yeah. Zomers is completely not amused. Terry Barr, on Terry Barr watching on YouTube, says, Aaron is a taco expert?
I would not say I'm a taco expert, but I would say I'm a taco enjoyer.
Welcome back, Terry. By the way, she helped us out with getting onto our website, an interview we had yesterday with a great pollinator person. So thank you, Terry, for that. And welcome back. Terry's been, she was on an Arctic world tour. She was saving penguins, which I thought was fantastic, and bringing great music around the world. So check out Terry this weekend on Max Inc. Radio. I'm sure she'll be talking about all of it. Sounds fantastic. Joseph, watching on YouTube, says, it's been a Taco John's fan since they opened in Rapid City. There you go. When I was a kid, 4 tacos for a buck back then. They also had the fry bread. The fry bread. Apple cinnamon dessert that Todd mentioned. So the bell is worse. Yeah, I mean, that fry bread was it was amazing. I've tried to replicate it over the years at home. I've come close, but no cigar. What's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Any other text numbers you want to get to there? Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point, up in Point, says, if you want a delicious laxative, it's Taco Bell.
I don't know. It doesn't have that effect on me.
No, I think it's certain things, perhaps. You know, I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
Fair enough.
People are having their lunch. Kurt in Madison, listening to WMDX, says, if you tasted a bite of it in a blind taste test, could you tell the difference? That's
absolutely.
A great point.
100% of the time, I'm convinced I could tell the difference between Taco Bell and Taco John's.
All right. Judy in Lodi, listening to WMDX, says, Taco John's has better food overall. Taco Bell is worse. I do like nacho cheese Doritos, Loco Tacos from Taco something. The screen changed, sorry.
From Taco Bell.
All right, from Taco Bell. All right, we'll come back. Zomeris and I will give you our what's the worst for the day. And then we have, and on this date, 250 years ago today. Actually, it was tomorrow. But we're going to pretend like it was today. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Taco. Grande. Taco.
More of this. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, June 17th. Zomers, what did you dial up?
Taco Grande by Weird Al.
Taco Grande by Weird Al. I'm not usually a big fan of Weird Al, but that one was good. I don't think I've heard that one before.
I'm not super familiar with it either.
Yeah, all right. The question of the hour today is what's worse, our bit of foolishness for the day, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app like Dave did in beautiful New Berlin. So did Taco John's win a Nobel Prize? But that's the dad joke of the day. Father's Day is over, but that's good. That's a good dad joke, Dave. Well done. I'm very honored, very happy. Now, here's the kind of people you want. Here's the kind of people you want on the show. Here's the kind of people you want representing you in the state legislature. Someone who does serious work and helps the people of Wisconsin, but also is just a real human being and has a sense of humor. We last talked to her up at the Norske Nook in beautiful Osseo, Wisconsin, and here she is now live in our studio. We're going to talk to her about some serious things here after the bottom of the hour, but State Representative Jody Emerson. Representative Emerson, thanks for coming on a couple of minutes early.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you again, Todd.
It's great to see you again.
I like these interviews much better when we can do it over pie in Osseo.
Agreed. If I can do a show a couple of times a week from the Norsky Nook, I would do it. But I don't have the budget for that or the waistline, so I got to keep doing them here.
Real world problems,
I know,
Italian.
Right? Exactly. So thanks for joining us for our goofiness here. What's worse, Representative, Taco Bell or Taco John?
Well, I think there's a reason in my family we call it Taco Hell. So, sorry, if that was just an FCC fine I'll take it. No.
As long as it's not an F-bomb, we're fine.
Okay, good. I'll remember that for our next segment then.
So. I appreciate that.
But I do have a funny story about Taco John's. My husband, we were at the Taco John's in Osseo, actually. Really? And some guy looks up at the menu and he's like, I'll take some of them there taco or potato olies. Oh. So that's what that one has stuck for the last 20 years.
But if you're in Osseo, exactly. The home of the Norsky Nook, you can't blame the guy for calling him potato olies. Olealinas. I think that's fantastic.
It's great. Yeah. Right? Yep.
I'm very proud of our Norwegian Scandinavian heritage here
in
Wisconsin. Zomers, what's worse, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
I think I have to say Taco John's. Go against the grain a little bit here. Honestly, mostly just because I've had more Taco Bell. And I have a few items on their menu that I really like. I'm a fan of the Crunchwrap Supreme and the, what's it called? Quesarito. It is just cheese, like a lot of it's super fake cheese, but it tastes really good.
But it tastes good. That's fun.
Your Wisconsin card is revoked for liking fake cheese.
For I like that cheese. Specific fake cheese, but it's fair.
Well done. Well done. I'm going to say Taco Bell is worse just because I like the apple dessert cinnamon thing at Taco John's. That's really good stuff.
There you go.
Okay, here's a little on this date 250 years ago for everybody. Actually, it was yesterday, but we had a busy show yesterday. On this date, or at least yesterday, June 16th, in 1775, George Washington made a brief but important speech to the Continental Congress. He accepted their unanimous choice for him to become general and commander-in-chief of the American forces. Washington accepted the job with extreme humility. In the first sentence of his speech, he expressed his doubts that his abilities and military experience were equal to the job. Washington came right out and said, "I do not think of myself equal to the command of which I am honored with." But Washington promised to exert every power he possessed in the, quote, glorious cause, unquote, of the war for independence. Then he concluded by requesting that Congress pay him nothing, but only reimburse him for his expenses. During the ensuing 7 years of the American Revolutionary War, there were those who did indeed doubt Washington was equal to the job. Fortunately for history, Washington proved the doubters wrong. On this date, yesterday, 250 years ago, Representative, we're going to get into some serious things after the break here. But just hearing that story, to me, is at the essence, should be at the example was set by the father of our country of what it meant to be a representative and a servant of the people. Someone that said, "I just doing this because I love my country and I want to do it for the cause. I'm not in this for the money." You know,
how things have changed,
right? and it reminds me, Trygve Olsen, that comes on this show a lot, says that there are politicians that want to be, and there are politicians that want to do. And I think we need more people in elective office that want to do stuff.
I think so, too. And I'm hoping we get a few more of them over the next few years. Yeah. So
it's how long have you been? This is your
this is my fourth term.
Fourth term already. Wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
So I'm 22. Can you? No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Looks fabulous, by the way. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that 100%. But I mean, you look at so many people now we have new people. I think Christian Phelps up by your area, people who are doing this because they want to serve. And I think that's a really healthy thing for Wisconsin's democracy.
Yeah. I think we see the closer you are to the people, whether it's school board, city council, county board, even state government, more people are doing that because they want to help their community. Once we get into Washington, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater on that one. Right, God only knows what's...
Well, I appreciate you bringing up local school boards and county, because those folks just, it's a very simple remuneration. It's really not a salary, really. We had James Small on from Rural EMS Outreach Program at UW School of Medicine and Public Health last hour. I think it's so important to remember all the folks across this state who still volunteer and still, we hear so many of the things that are wrong with our state and country, and there are, but I think it's important to take a minute to say, and you encounter this, I'm sure, as you go to parades, other things in your district, there are a lot of great folks in this state.
There really are, and that's the best part of this job, is meeting and connecting with people, and especially with the new maps, meeting and connecting with a lot of new people and hearing new perspectives, and I think it's wonderful, and that's truly community service.
100%. We're going to take a short break, update from Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report, news, weather, and sports. Come on back, talk more with Representative Jody Emerson about the joint funding.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We don't know what President Trump discussed with Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu earlier on Tuesday, but we do know that Trump issued an ultimatum to Iran demanding unconditional surrender. This is aerial attacks intensified between Israel and Iran. ABC's Ian Pannell in Tel Aviv.
More strikes were launched at Israel, one salvo bypassing Israeli air defenses, geolocated by ABC to the area where Israel's military intelligence and Mossad headquarters are based.
Ukraine's president says a U.S. citizen was killed when Russia launched hundreds of drones targeting Kyiv on Tuesday. A state of emergency in West Virginia, more heavy rain forecast after deadly flooding. Fire Chief Dave Patterson, hard hit Tridelphia, West Virginia.
In this town, we have never had a loss of life until this flood. We've had many, many bad floods, quote unquote, but nothing with the devastation we have now.
Patterson says they're racing to inspect damaged homes so they can safely restore power. This is ABC News.
Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. You know, this is a group. They're the right dudes. You know what I mean? And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hungry room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. Like, we got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Pop singer Neza might have gone to her last Dodger game. At least that's what she says. If you're wondering why, it's because she was told to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English, but decided to sing it in Spanish anyway. This all happened last Saturday on the day of the No Kings protest taking place all over the country. The singer posted a TikTok video of a Dodgers executive telling her to sing it in English and then part of her performance, which was in Spanish. For what it's worth, it was received with enthusiastic applause. The Pit is a hit for Max, and fans of the intense medical drama will be happy to know that season 2 production is underway. According to Variety, the show stars Noah Wiley as an ER doctor. Sound familiar? It was renewed in February. The Pit takes place at the fictitious Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Hospital. Wiley also executive produces the show alongside John Wells, who executive produced NBC's ER. Season 2 of The Pit will premiere in January 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms in the overnight, mostly cloudy skies, light winds, and temperatures dropping back into the mid-60s. On Wednesday, showers and storms continue, some locally heavy rainfall, winds turning to the north, highs in the middle 70s. It's 69 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommer's on the board. If you have a question for our next guest, feel free to call or text in on the Civic Media app. Call a number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Sitting here in studio, always glad to have her. As you might have heard last segment, she was kind enough to join us for What's Worse. Going to get a bit more serious now, though. Last time she joined us was at the North Ski Nook up in Osseo, Wisconsin. She is a state representative in the Eau Claire area, beautiful Chippewa Valley. She is Jody Emerson, and she is the ranking member for Democrats on the Assembly Committee on Universities and Colleges. Representative, again, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
It's great to have you here in person. I want to start off with, because of this breaking news, we put out something on our socials last night, and many thanks to my sister, who is, I'm not sure she's directly in your district, but she's in the area there in Eau Claire. And let's put that up. Heather, on watching us on Facebook, says, Representative Emerson, thanks for speaking with the Memorial High School Student Dems group this year. My daughter really appreciated your kindness and thoughts. Well, I didn't know that.
Aw, that's sweet.
How about that? My sister took my youngest niece, who just graduated this year at Memorial, and took her this last summer when Vice President Harris made that appearance in Eau Claire. And it was my niece was like, well, I don't really know. And then she was kind of like, so-so. And my sister said they got back to the car. And my niece just got kind of emotional and was like, that is so amazing. And to see a woman in that position. And I think it's just really healthy and great to see a female legislator come into these high schools and say, you know what, you can do this too.
Well, I think that's so important. I think we work to achieve what we can see in other people. And so even though somebody might not look just like me, having a woman in that position, we've had men in that position, I think, and that's part of the reason why I do this and why I care about colleges and universities, because we know that that younger generation is so critically important to the health of Wisconsin and to all of us, and we need to inspire it. You know, we all had people who inspired us
100%
one way or the other, good or bad sometimes.
Right. Influenced us, yeah. Absolutely.
That it's great to be in that position able to do that.
My sister updated or let me know, you posted on your Facebook last night about these remarkable changes. I, to get do a little bit of reporting of my own, contacted a couple of the people at the state capitol that still talk to me and other places and said, no, this is legit, that the Joint Finance Committee, the Budget Writing Committee, we had Senator Kelda Royce on the program yesterday. She's part of that, one of four Democrats on the committee, putting this budget together. They were going to take up the university, I still call it UW system. I know it's...
I will always call it the system.
Thank you.
Let's just agree on that one going 100%. Forward today.
And they're going to take up the budget, and you were one of the first people to put this out there, and then we put it on our socials, that they were looking at cutting $87 million. Not from Governor Evers' $300 million-plus proposal and his version of the budget, not from current spending, but $87 million.
Yeah, I mean, so right now we've got one of the biggest asks. UW system had it. Governor Evers put it in his budget, asking for $855 million additional for this year's budget. And what we were hearing rumblings about yesterday is that they were going to actually be cutting, $87 million. Is what we were hearing. So not even just doing what they did last year, but actually taking money away. And I mean, that just puts a panic through. And I think it's also not only really bad forethought, because the universities are importers of people into our state. We bring people in from Minnesota and Illinois and Iowa and other states. They feel like other countries sometimes.
Exactly. You
know? Let's not talk about those Vikings. And then some of them stay here, mm-hmm. and they establish their careers and they establish their families here. And when we're looking at being an aging state, mm-hmm. the way that we bring people in is by having family-friendly policies, which includes having really high quality K-12 schools. Well, you know, we worked on that one in joint finance last week. That didn't come out the way that I would like to see it. And now we're looking at the university system. And if we want to train the teachers of tomorrow, the engineers of tomorrow, the doctors, the nurses, the thinkers of tomorrow to develop the technologies of an industry that doesn't even exist right now, but is maybe going to take over our world in the next 15 years. You know, we need our universities to be strong, and we also need them all over the state too. We cannot just have one central location in Madison. People need to be able to be close to home, because our higher education system isn't just for 18 to 22 year olds anymore. You go back. I think about what college was like when I was there, you know, 1,000 years ago. You know,
I was 1,000 plus, so go ahead.
You know, I went to school in the early 90s in college. We were super excited that we had a quote-unquote computer lab in the basement of the dorm. It had 4 computers in there.
Yeah.
And you'd bring in your own little floppy disk that was actually a floppy disk back then. And this is, you know, what they were talking about. Well, you know, now it's, you have to train on AI.
Right.
That didn't exist back then. When I went to school, AI was, you know, the old War Games movie of, would you like to play chess, you know, professor?
Right. Exactly right.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go watch the movie, because it's hilarious.
We're talking with State Representative Jody Emerson, the ranking member of the Democratic, the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, about these proposed cuts. $87 million is what it was rumored to be last night. I want to get into that in a minute, Representative, but let's cut to the chase and just update people, because this has been a very fluid situation. So you put it out on your socials. We amplified that. We did some additional reporting. I know other places did as well. And I really credit this to all the Wisconsinites out there that followed up and called people, particularly the Joint Finance Committee and their local representative or senator, because we got late word right before we came on the air that Joint Finance Committee, while they were going to meet, and they did, they pulled this motion because they gotten so much pressure and blowback and embarrassment that they pulled it back. And now Shelley Pittman, our great news director here at Civic Media, reports she was up at the Capitol. The Joint Finance Committee now has adjourned for the day and no action. So I think that this is a win for today. Agree or disagree?
I think it's a temporary reprieval. You know, we don't know what they're coming back at. It could be worse.
Right.
It could be better.
Right.
But I think, you know, if we are working to make Wisconsin a better place, we have to have a strong education system here. We have to make sure that our universities are strong. And what is happening on a university campus impacts every single person in this state. There is research that is done into making sure that byproducts of milk you know, are being used in a way that helps the community, that we're growing better crops, that we are learning better medical research. You know, UW-Madison has got one of the best medical research facilities in the entire nation. And, you know, there's some federal implications with that. And I don't know if we've got enough segments to talk about all the federal issues going on with higher education right now. But we have to do our part at the state level. And so I know that higher ed can be kind of a hot button political topic. We definitely have seen that in the committee. But I'm hoping that by people reaching out to the joint finance members, they're understanding that these are the nurses in their community. These are the police officers in their community. These are the teachers. These are the people who are designing the roads that we drive on. And we have to have a strong four-year system in addition to a strong technical college system.
Agreed.
It's not a either or. It's a both and. And right now, we are funding our public universities 44th in the nation. Used to be 43rd. We slipped.
Yeah.
If we don't, the goal with that $855 million is to maybe get us up into the mid-20s. You know, we're not looking for the you know, cream of the crop. We're looking at, like, can we just be middle of the road with funding?
I'm so glad you brought up this should not be a partisan issue. Look, I'm a former Republican, as viewers and listeners of this show know. I left the party in 2011. I pointed out in our first segment, the first hour of this show, give folks a little history lesson on land-grant universities. It was Abraham Lincoln that signed that legislation nationally into law to make universities less, my words, hoity-toity and ivory tower, to say, let's focus on agriculture. Let's focus on engineering, not just the arts, but also those as well. So the University of Wisconsin system is built literally on land-grant university funds from the federal level. Then it was fighting Bob La Follette, and apologies to Democrats, I know it makes them a little salty, but Bob La Follette was a Republican governor and U.S. senator of this state who fought for the Wisconsin idea that the borders of our university are the borders of our state. And yes, even Tommy George Thompson, when he was governor and also as a graduate of UW-Madison, but also as became president of the system, fought and believes in this. So, and of course, there are lots of Democrats as well, but I think for our Republican friends listening, this is not some sort of, I hate using this word, but woke, you know, whatever idea. This is integral to your point, Representative. This is the ag extension to all of our ag producers and 4-H'ers all across this state. This is an economic driver, a job creator, as Speaker Voss likes to say. Your comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. You know, they are doing research into Lake Altoona in my district as to why there's so much sediment coming through and why there's so much runoff. Like, there's not a university in Altoona, but Altoona gets the benefits of that because it is the Wisconsin idea. Our universities, our higher ed goes everywhere. It impacts everybody in this state. And I mean, you wouldn't find a better champion of the UW system than Tommy Thompson.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's amazing when it comes to that. And it's really disappointing. And I think what happens is some of my colleagues in the Capitol will see a situation that happens. And, you know, our universities are run by humans. They're taught by humans.
Right.
You know, there are going to be mistakes there. They'll see one mistake and they will latch onto it and say, for that reason, every department, every campus, everything needs to be defunded.
Yeah, I say there's always a bad apple in the bunch, even radio hosts. A couple minutes left here before we go to break. I want to, because I think this is a really important point. Talk us through in 2 minutes, if you can, we could come back after the break. If, keyword if, these $87 million of cuts that were scheduled to be voted on today went through, and if Governor Evers would have, whatever reason, sign that into law, what would this mean in real terms to the people of Wisconsin?
I mean, without seeing the actual motion, it's hard to tell because it, you know, it could be this part, that part. But we've put a lot of money into building campuses up, science buildings all over the place. If we have to cut 80 some million dollars, I can just about guarantee that we can say goodbye to all the 2-year campuses.
The 6 that are left.
We will probably be saying goodbye to 1, if not more, of the 4-year campuses. So are we looking at, you know, closing River Falls because it's a smaller school and
Superior,
it's just down the road from, you know, a couple other campuses. Mm-hmm. Well, they're building this huge, beautiful SciTech building right now that is integrating business and agriculture together. our state has invested money in that. So we need to invest the money in keeping that school properly staffed and everything else. Tuition's going to go up. That's a given, but you know, there's so many other things. I better come back for the next segment because I got a big list here, John.
A pro. She's going to take my job. Come on back. We'll talk a little bit more with State Representative Jody Emerson about these Joint Finance Committee proposed cuts that are on hold for now. We're going to talk about it more on the other side. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A weather update with Brittany Merlot and our great weather team. Looks like maybe a few stronger storms into tomorrow. Otherwise, sultry, hot, sticky at that time of year here in Wisconsin. And then a little sports update from our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Brewers have a big series against the Cubs this week. And then the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Pete Schwabe and Conrad and Nightlight Always great to await to end your day with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 until 8. Right now, we're joined here at the table in the studio at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison by State Representative Jody Emerson. She is the ranking assembly member on the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, talking about these proposed cuts to the UW system to the tune of $87 million, which was ended, at least for now, when the Joint Finance Committee pulled that motion just a couple of hours ago. Representative, let's talk a little. Again, was there something you wanted to finish up? We were talking that if this $87 million cut were to come to fruition, keyword if, the governor then would have the choice of either having to sign a version. There's rumors now that Republicans are using like ChatGPT AI to write this budget. So this is real, so that they don't have to use digits for numerals, but they write them out because the governor isn't able to veto words like that, just numbers. This is really, in my opinion, I don't want to say slimy, but just it's too cute by half, which will put the governor in a really prickly spot. Does he sign this with $87 million, or does he veto the entire budget? Some Senate Democrats are telling me privately that they would be in favor of a full cut. If it came to that, Representative Emerson, what would be your purview?
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't say what the governor should do because he's got a really strong veto.
You can say that.
and he looks at the budget differently than I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not on joint finance. I get one vote up or down on the whole thing.
Yeah.
That vote is becoming clearer and clearer every section that they do. You know, the governor looks at it through the lens of how can I adjust this and make this a little bit better? And we saw some really creative uses of the veto pen in the last budget session. And it's not just Governor Evers. You know, Tommy Thompson did it for years. I mean,
The Vanna White veto, that they passed legislation so he couldn't do that.
Right. You know, and so I've heard Bill McCashin talk about, who used to be Tommy's chief of staff, about how they'd have contests to see how creative of a veto they could find in there.
Don't doubt it a bit.
So, you know, they can't just put this on Democrats.
100% agree.
You know, but what would happen? It would just be so devastating to our universities. And I'm glad that you brought up AI, because we are at a point a couple of years ago when we were talking AI on the committee, it was more like, okay, let's not get students to write their papers with AI. And how do we train professors to look for AI written stuff? Well, now businesses around the state and around the country are not just wanting, but insisting that their new workers come out trained in AI.
Wow.
And so we're looking at having to add AI into all kinds of things, whether it's medical, to use AI in, I mean, I'm not a medical person, whatever they would use AI for, whether it's to help write things, whether it's to help sort through things. I mean, there's AI implications in every single major that you can do, and companies need that. And so we need to make sure that we've got money in the budget so that the professors can learn how in the course of their course they can help students learn AI and get ready for life on the outside of school.
And what we clear, this is not just, this is real, what I'm hearing. I haven't seen it, but what I'm hearing is the Republicans are actually trying to use AI technology to feed in all of the laws, what the governor can and can't do with his veto pen, regardless of who it is, and then feed in the current iteration of the state budget and say, write us a veto-proof state budget.
And the irony of that, that they are using AI, but don't want to give money to the universities to teach people how to use AI. I mean, come on. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And that's part of what is happening at our universities is people who've been out for 10, 15, 20 or, you know, 1,000 years like you and I have been, you know, go back to school sometimes to upskill, to learn this new thing that is coming out. That's part of what our universities are doing, too. There's also a huge amount of dual enrollment where we've got high school students taking college courses, whether virtually or in person, because they can't get that same credit at their school. So we're not just talking 18 to 22-year-olds. We've got to make sure that we're actually putting the money where our mouth is on this.
Agreed. Time always goes too fast. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. I want to make sure we get this out. My understanding is that Joint Finance Committee needs to take up the university budget within the week.
It could either be Thursday of this week or it could be next Tuesday. So, you know, they still have to vote on what's going on. They still need to create their motions for what's going on. And so keep the pressure on.
I was going to say, any rumors to that you can report or talk about right now of like a reverse's $87 million, make it worse, make it better?
Who knows? So, I mean, like always, civic media listeners, call your representatives, call the people on joint finance. Tell them what is critical for us to make a Wisconsin that works for you.
I know our colleague Pat Kreitlow is watching. He's all set for the Washington Island trip that you've agreed to go on.
All right, let's do
it. James Small.
Pontoon with
Pontoon
Pat.
Pontoon in Lake Wissota. Pat's always on top of these issues as well. People can tune into mornings to Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9 as we continue to follow this. Representative Emerson, I cannot thank you enough for being on top of this, for helping disseminate honest, accurate, truthful information, and for helping citizens of the state to join together, because at least for today, let's celebrate a win. For right now at 3:58, the Wisconsin idea is still saved for now, but to your point, got to stay on top of this.
It is. So thank you for helping with this. Happy to come on anytime. You're just down the block from the office.
That's what's cool. We love it when you're on the show. Thank you so much, and thank you for all the work you do.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. State Representative Jody Emerson, thanks to her. Also to James Small of Rural EMS Outreach Program at the UW School of Medicine and Rural Health. To Zommers for doing a great job on the board. And for Pat Kreitlow for being the great captain there on Lake Wissota and also a great radio show host. Kreitlow will be on the show tomorrow with Trigvi Olson. Don't miss that. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum and keep calling those legislators and save the Wisconsin idea. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Cracks in Israel's Iron Dome as Iran launches a massive barrage of missiles. ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon.
About 15% of the missiles that have been launched have gotten through, and some of them are creating damage, as we've seen, and some of them are creating fatalities.
Meeting with advisors in the Situation Room Tuesday, President Trump demanding Iran's unconditional surrender, claiming total control over Iranian airspace. Ukraine's president says a U.S. citizen was killed when Russia launched hundreds of drones targeting Kyiv on Tuesday. Senate Republicans are proposing new changes to President Trump's big spending bill, including permanent tax breaks and new Medicaid work requirements, and the state and local tax deduction down from House approved $40,000 to $10,000. In Sunrise, Florida, Tuesday night,
the Panthers have done it in 6 games.
Call on WQAM as the Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers at 5-1, Game 6, Stanley Cup Finals. This is ABC News.